Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be. I know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your moods, your energy levels, to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too. But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today. Hey there, thank you for joining me today. I'm really excited for you to meet my guest, Michelle Donnelly. Michelle runs Plus One Parents, which is a ministry that helps single parents overcome overwhelm to rebuild God-empowered lives and raise up a new generation. She also has a Bible study out called Made for More. And for those of you listening who are not single parents, do not skip this episode because the subtitle to our Bible study is Life Beyond the Wreckage of Hurt, Loss, and Heartbreak, a Bible study experience for single moms and anyone else whose life hasn't gone as planned. And I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things in my life that have been unexpected and unplanned. And sometimes that can feel frustrating and leaves us asking questions like, where is God in this? Is God still good? And if you've ever asked that question, Michelle is here to talk to us about seeing God in the unexpected, in the hard places of life. How to practically talk to our kids about those things, including feelings like rejection. And she gives us some encouragement to single parents and some really great ways to support single parents in our lives. So you really don't want to miss this episode. Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is so great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things about podcasts is that we get to create a space for a lot of conversations. And some are like fun and practical, and some are vulnerable and kind of tough. And today we're going to talk about kind of tougher things. We're going to talk about when life doesn't go as planned, all the unexpected things. And I think it's going to be really good because we still get to talk about how faithful God is, even in those moments.
That's right.
But before we get to that, I want to get to know you a little bit. So can you tell us about your family? And then who's in your family, and just describe your family in a word or a phrase.
Yeah, sure. So I am a single mom of three. I have a daughter who is about to start high school. I have a son who is in middle school, and then I have another daughter who's about to start elementary school. So next fall, I will be in all three seasons at once.
That's going to be an adventure.
That's
but they're
right.
All going to be in school. It'll be great.
And actually, if I was to use one word to describe our family, adventure, I think, really suits us. It is an adventure of these various seasons and girls and boys and all of the mix of that, all the different personality types and learning how to work together with understanding each other's needs. But there's also needs that have come up through the unique makeup of our family in the sense that we've experienced a divorce. My youngest was adopted at birth. I adopted her at birth. And so we just have a variety of these different experiences that we are walking through together with the Lord and when you are pressing into life with God, it is always an adventure. So I think that's a very, very appropriate word.
I love that quote too. I'm going to use that. That's amazing. And then I always ask, what is the one thing that you want every parent to know?
I would want every parent to know. And I know that any single parents who are listening really are going to feel this, but I want every parent to know God uses the mistakes. He uses the mess ups. He uses the things that we don't get quite right. He uses them to teach us what grace really is, what it is to press into being loved regardless of how you perform and how you do. But he also uses them as something that is just where his strength is so on display and so remarkable in the spaces where we're the weakest.
That's good. That's really good. Can you tell us a little more about your story? Because you run this ministry, Plus One Parents. You're a single mom. Can you tell us how you got to this place a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, I always say when it comes to single parenting, almost no one signed up for this on their, you know, wedding day or the day that their child was born or they found that they were pregnant. However, you know, you arrived in the season if you're a single parent. Most of us didn't plan for this to be our story. And so there's a lot that you walk through when it is your story. You know, there's a lot of disappointment, though, I think that a lot of us as parents confront when our stories don't match up with the dreams that we had for our lives. And so this was something that I was about 35 years old and found myself in a situation where I was getting divorced. And it was absolutely not on my radar. You know, I had the mind that no. You know, with God, we can do this. Everything is going to work out and we're going to make it through this. And so to be at that stage of my life and just where everything that I had dreamed of and hoped for had utterly hit the floor and was just shattered in broken pieces, God just started piece by piece by piece putting things, I won't say back together, but putting things together in a new way. You know, he showed me very early on that he was doing a new thing. And this was something that as I healed through the aftermath of a broken relationship, he showed me all these spaces in my life where these little wounds had built up to become something very large in my life. And so that he was restoring not only what had occurred during the time that I was married, but he wanted to heal the whole thing. You know, he really wanted to take me on this journey of discovering who he really was and who I really was and how that then influenced the way that I engaged with my kids and in relationship and all of that kind of thing, community. And so with that, though, I just started seeing more and more and more and realizing, gosh, there's just not a lot of conversation about this in the Christian community and the Christian space, you know? And so what started as a blog and then became a podcast and a devotional and a Bible study ultimately developed into Plus One Parents.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think it's just such a beautiful gift of a ministry and such a testimony to how God can use the unexpected and the hurt and build something really beautiful out mm-hmm. of it. Even mm-hmm. though it wasn't what you planned, it's right. still really beautiful because God redeems everything. And that's, you know, one of his promises to us. I think there are a lot of things that can go wrong in our lives, you know, like unfortunately, we have a lot less control than we like to think that we do or believe that we do or wish that we did. Mm-hmm. For you, that was becoming a single mom. And for others who are listening, that might be losing a job or difficult relationships, a scary diagnosis, either for yourself or for a child, that is really scary. The loss of a parent, there are just so many things. But no matter what life throws at us, no matter what surprises us and is unexpected, like God remains the same. And he calls us to more than our circumstances. And that's really hard to remember, but it's true. And it's what your Bible study is about. Made for More is the name of your Bible study. And in it, you walk us through some biblical stories that are difficult. And I think that and through it, you focus on a few questions, or at least at the beginning, you talk about them. And I think every person has probably thought at some point in their life, like, where's God in this? Does God even care? What can God do in this situation? And your study is a good reminder that some of our favorite Bible heroes probably felt the same way. So can you tell us a little bit about your heart behind the study and those questions that are in it?
Yeah. Well, you hit on the fact that there are a variety of different ways that we can experience disappointment. And so the byline of our study is that it is a Bible study experience for single moms and anyone else whose life hasn't turned out as planned, you know? Mm-hmm. Because the fact is, through those things that you mentioned, you know, we kind of often think life is heading in one way, and then something will maybe blindside us that causes us to question everything we think we know. And a lot of times, you know, we've developed a sort of a formula that we're relying on, you know, that if I do X and Y and Z, that my life is going to turn out just the way that I want it to. And the hard part is when we think I'm doing X and Y and Z and it doesn't turn out, or maybe we know we didn't do those things. And now we just feel like, well, I've blown it. You know, this is what I deserve. And the fact is, though, that if we look through scripture, we can see that we're not the only ones who have ever felt this way. We're not the only ones who have ever experienced these difficult things, that our lives are all full of these very fragile and changeable circumstances, but they all point us to a God who is not fragile, a God who is very strong and very stable, that where we are experiencing this constant change, he is unchanging. And so we can learn then to pull away from these, you know, formulas or these other things that we've believed about God that have kind of caused us to rely on ourselves, and instead start to examine, all right, who are you really though? Are you good? You know, and I think that's a lot of the big key question that many times we're asking is like, are you still good? Because this is not good. This situation right. is not good. Right. So if you're allowing it, can you still be good? You know, and it's questions like that, though, that sometimes we feel intimidated to ask, or we feel like, ooh, good Christians don't ask those kinds of questions, or people of faith don't ask those questions. And that's what we see in these stories, though, are people who are willing to let God into the messiest parts of their lives. And then how that reveals just how good and kind and close and generous and powerful that God is in these changing and difficult circumstances.
Yeah. Let's talk about our kids for a second. Because when you're talking about those things, you know, each of your chapters is called something that you're made for more than. So it's made for more than rejection, made for more than what has happened, and made for more than your mistakes. And I think as parents, as adults, we're thinking, okay, where's God in this? Is God still good in all of this? How are we made for more than this? But, and that's hard. But then we have these kids that we have to raise, and we have to walk them through those things too, because, you know, like a kid doesn't get invited to a birthday party and they feel rejected. And someone's mean to them and they feel mistreated, or they lose someone in their life and they feel held captive by the circumstance. So in your experience, how have you explained this concept to your kids?
Yeah, I love that you picked rejection, because I think that's one that no matter what age your kids are, they experience that. And yeah. It's something that those formative experiences with rejection really do impact us over the long haul in our lives.
I think we can all remember a birthday party we weren't invited to.
Right? Or a lunch table that you were told, don't go sit there, like you can't be with us anymore, you know, whatever the case is. And in, you know, looking through scripture again, you know, for example, I believe the chapter on rejection is the story of Hagar. And Hagar's story is often not told. And that's a lot of what's in this study is stories that are really just glossed over, they're missed. But we see in her story where she has been cast off and she's isolated in the desert by herself. And she's in this really scary situation that God reveals himself to her and makes himself so close and so present, so much so that she declares, you are the God who sees me, that where no one else sees me, where I have been mistreated and exploited and all of these things, you're the God who sees me. You're the God who actually just gave me a promise. Like if we look at her context of her story, there's no reason why Hagar should get the promise that she's going to have, you know, generations after her. And so in explaining these stories, though, it's one of the ways that we can say it's not just her. It wasn't that she just got lucky, you know, and so we're getting to read about her because she was one of the few. This story shows us God's character, shows us who God really is. So when you feel rejected, you can actually know that God is very close to you, that his heart is sad when your heart is sad. And when we help our kids to understand that God has those emotions, you know, and that what we feel matters to him, it creates an understanding of God that he's not far off. He's not distant. He's not disinterested. He's not a police officer. You know, a lot of the ways that maybe we have grown up feeling or thinking about God, that they can understand that he is so very present and wants to see us through these things.
Yeah, I love the way you describe that too, because it is such a good story of God is present in your life. Because our kids do think like God is a genie in the sky who's going to answer our prayers that we, you know, and that really what you're saying is it's making God really deeply part of their lives. And that's so powerful for making their faith their own, so that when they do eventually go on to a bigger rejection than the birthday party or the lunch table, they know God is with them. And we can start those conversations when they're younger to empower them with that. I really love that you pointed that out.
A lot of times too, you know, the way that we typically will think of this is we try to make them feel better about the circumstances. You know, we try to say like, oh, that's not really what happened. Or we try to say, well, that kid just doesn't, you know, understand. Or we, you know, so we're trying to explain away the situation. Or we're trying to pump them up with like, oh, but you're a great friend, or you have lots of other great friends, you know, and kids see like right through that stuff. You know, they just know that there's something that's missing. And that is the beauty of being able to connect them to the heart of God in these instances, is the thing that is missing is that unconditional love and acceptance that can never be changed, that's not based on someone else's choices, not based on your own behavior, but is something that they can be rooted and grounded in. But it definitely does take repetitions, you know, over the course of their growing up years.
The way you just explained that to me, like, I feel like my mind is kind of blown, even though I feel like it's a concept I should know. You know, we should know these things. But explaining to my kids and to myself that you are made for more than this rejection. Like, we don't have to, because I am so guilty of that in my parenting with the birthday party invite. Like, oh, well, you know, in a lot of these parties, we can only invite 10 friends. So that's really 9. And like explaining why maybe you didn't make the cut, when that shouldn't be the focus of my conversation. It can be part of the conversation for sure, but it doesn't have to be the focus of it. I'm like, yeah, yes, that was good.
But you know what? The other thing, let's be real though. The other thing is sometimes this is too big and too heady for your kid to be able to grab, right?
Yes.
So the point is this is about introduction and repetitions that as they continue to grow, that these are the kinds of conversations you're having, that this is a way that they start to turn their attention. It doesn't mean that in the moment they're going to be like, oh, well, Jesus loves me, so it's okay that I'm missing out on this birthday party.
Like, we don't need to go in the moment and be like, let me tell you the story of Hagar.
That's right.
But in that moment, you can explain maybe why they weren't invited because they're limited, and then talk about just one little sentence of, you're made for more than this, you know, like God, your value is in being God's child and you're really loved. And it can be really simple, starting small.
The empathy really is in, I see why you would feel that way. I would feel that way too. Because that really is the heart of what God is doing for Hagar in this story, is he's saying, I see why you feel this way. Right? Yeah. So he's entering into it with her. So rather than even necessarily feeling like you have to have an answer or whatever, and it's fine if it, you know, the conversation goes that way, but letting that first inclination model the heart of the Father to be, I see you, then there is just that sense though where the enemy wants to get into that rejection and be like, see, nobody likes you. Yeah. Nobody's here for you. That it's like, no. I, as the mother, I'm standing as the guardian here, or the father, or the parent, whatever, but I'm standing as the guardian here against what the devil is going to want to use this for, to be those hands and feet of Jesus to my child.
Yeah, empathy is so important, and it's so easy to overlook when we're parenting because we want to be quick to solve the problem. Whether it's just because we don't want our kids hurt or because we're just really busy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really easy to switch into tactical mode when you've... Yeah. I mean, I have 3 kids. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have 3 too. So, yes, I'm sometimes like, can we talk about this later? Because we got to go to baseball.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that was really good. I'm going to be thinking about that a lot in my interactions with my kids and bringing it back to that. I really appreciated that insight.
So you guys have probably heard me talk about IXL before, and that is because I truly love it. IXL is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum or offers a little more support at home that balances your school curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to each child, meeting them exactly where they are. So I have one kid who gets a little bored in math class and he wants more of a challenge. So I've used IXL to give him a little more work at home and really push him in his favorite subject. And then I have another child who's kind of struggled through some of his math units. And so we use IXL to get him a little more practice before those unit tests so that he feels more confident. And it has seriously been such a helpful tool for our family. IXL is easy to use. Everything is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it really simple to find activities for the exact skills that your kids are covering. IXL also offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. So it's really helpful if you're using it to get a little extra support and practice in a particular subject. Like my family, you can make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Christian Parenting Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL memberships when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Again, you can visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the very best price.
I kind of want to switch gears to talk about single parenting a little bit, because I think that you're right that we don't talk about single parents enough in the Christian community. So for anyone who's listening, who is a single parent, whether they have been a single parent for like a day or a while now, you know, it could be all new, but they could be used to it. What encouragement do you have for the single parents who are listening?
Yeah, the encouragement I have for the single parent who's listening is that there are people who will understand you. There are people who will walk with you. One of the most difficult things about being a single parent is feeling misunderstood, is feeling like all the eyes are on you and yet nobody sees you, you know? Nobody really knows your needs or nobody really pays attention to you. And I've had circumstances that have absolutely caused me to be like, I'm never coming back here again, you know? Mm-hmm. And some people who are listening have great community and great people around them. And know, you know, this to be true, but most often this comes by trial and error, and it comes by being vulnerable with people who can't hold space for you, can't hold that, you know, the tension between the ideal and what really is, you know? Mm-hmm. And knowing, though, whenever you do find yourself in that space, that just means that there's a redirection that's happening there, that your people do exist, that you can find your people. And that as you, I mean, and this, the way this happened for me, I was just like, Lord, I need people. And he brought them, you know, but as I'm saying, it didn't just come because like I opened my eyes one day and there they all were, you know, it was really having to let people into hard spaces of my life. And some of the greatest though healing experiences in my life have come through community with other believers.
Yeah, I feel like I'm talking a lot about community right now, whether it's at a church or in a singles group or whatever it is. I just feel like a lot of people are talking about how they experience loneliness and how community is so important in a faith journey and in any part of your journey, like every mm-hmm. part of your life, community is so important. What are some of the things that you did to find community?
The easiest way to find community is if your church has small groups, community groups, life groups, whatever they call them. Mm-hmm. And the reason I love these is that this is the body of Christ, like in a really small scale, right? So this is spiritual grandmothers and spiritual aunts and uncles and spiritual parents and brothers and sisters, right? So you have a variety of ages and stages that are represented there. And that allows you as a single parent, for example, to be in a space where there are people around you who are not in your season of life and can help meet your needs, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's very, very valuable and necessary. And that sometimes is uncomfortable to let people in and you have to receive from them. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of, you know, discomfort that comes along with that. But you can't always surround yourself with people who are all in your same circumstance, because then often you find yourselves all having needs, but then not able to necessarily meet all of them for each other. And that can feel really disempowering.
Right.
But not to say one is greater than the other. It's just, it's very good to diversify yourself in that way, you know, and to let people love on you. But then also in these situations, you know, it's where I've had, you know, friends of mine that our kids are all the same ages, you know, and so we're trading childcare and we're, you know, dropping off meals for each other. And so where you're in a space where you may feel like, do I even have anything of value to offer, you know, other people? It's the space where you do have gifts and abilities and talents and interests that you would be a blessing then also in this space. So it's just that healthy space to learn, give, and receive. And especially if you've been through a circumstance or several circumstances where there hasn't been healthy giving and receiving, that having that corrected in a loving spiritual family is so life-giving.
Yeah. So on the receiving side, so I'm not a single parent, but I have a lot of single parents in my life. Most are separated. So there are still two parents, but they're separated and divorced. I have a few who have lost spouses. So that presents a different challenge. But there's a lot to navigate in every stage of that. So what is the best way for someone like me who wants to help a single parent? Especially because I know it's hard to ask for help. Like, nobody wants to ask for help. So if true. Those people are like, no, we're good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anybody who says they're good is lying. I'm just kidding.
I mean,
no, but
I've never met anyone who's like, I want less help.
That's right. That's right. You know, and the thing is, as I mentioned, you know, being vulnerable can feel dangerous and can feel scary. And even though also to the extent that if you were to ask me early on in my journey, what do you need? I literally wouldn't have known the answer. I would have, like, open-ended questions even still sometimes are like deer in the headlights, like, I don't even know what to say. One of the easiest things, though, that I would say that is such a great icebreaker is always physical needs, like food. You know, we think about, you know, someone has a spouse who passes away, then a lot of people will do a meal train, you know, but then after a certain time, the meals stop. And I always say there are no divorce casseroles. Like, nobody is making you, you know, a casserole because you got divorced.
That's true.
And so seeing though that there's everybody always could enjoy a meal prepared for you, you know, and knowing though that's a weight off of me, you know, when it comes to the end of my day, I'm exhausted and my kids might still need running around and all that kind of thing. It's like, oh, this is one less thing I have to think about so I can be more engaged with my kids, you know? And that opens a gateway then to greater needs, you know, being perhaps an emotional, you know, support and those types of things. But I think always starting with that physical need is such a great way to just say, I see you. And even if it feels like, you know, I don't know if that person's going to be comfortable, it can even be like, hey, we made extra lasagna, you know, would you like some? And then it's just one of those things that you don't really always know how a person feels about receiving. And sometimes that can be just a softer entry in there, but there are ways to let somebody know that they're seen in those very everyday kind of situations.
Yeah. I like that you brought up before too, the open-ended questions, because it's so easy to say, can I bring you something? Or do you need something? And then it's like, oh no, I'm good. And then it just gets, you know, shoved to the side. But I have found in my experience, when people are grieving or sick or hurt, it's so much easier to be like, I'm bringing you this meal, or may I bring you a meal? Like you said, or like, can I come fold your laundry for you? You know, like really specific asks. I think that's a really good point that we just forget about sometimes because it feels forceful and you're like,
right,
I don't want to overstep.
Right. But as you said, by me making the suggestion for you, this is telling you something I want to do for you. I am choosing to do for you because I care. It doesn't put any onus or responsibility on them to think of anything at all, because that can also feel very much like, well, if I have to tell you what I need, like that feels kind of bad. That feels like maybe you know, now I feel like I'm imposing even though you offered to help. Like there's just all kinds of tangles, you know, that come with this kind of stuff. And when you take that out of the equation, yeah, take any emotional like weirdness out of that for me, that you can just say, hey, I want to do this for you. It's like, wow, that's amazing. That feels great. That feels freeing, you know?
Yeah. Right. Wow. Yeah. I think that's really good encouragement for anyone who just wants to support anyone in their life who's going through something unexpected and hard. And there are so many times that we can serve other people and be the hands and feet in Jesus by giving support in tough times. That was really helpful. And I very practical. I really appreciate your encouragement. I think this was a really good conversation. So before we go, can you tell us where we can connect with you? Where we can find your ministry and your Bible study.
So Plus One Parents, you can find us at plusoneparents.org. And there we have, you can access all of the resources that we have. We have online community, online classes. That's where you'll find the Bible study and the devotional and all the different things that we offer there. And then I'm also over on Facebook and Instagram at plusone.parents.
Great. Thank you so much. And I'll link all of that in the show notes that people can find
you
and all of your
Thank you so much. So,
yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really going to be thinking about how I can reframe conversations with my kids so that I'm not jumping in to fix a problem or make them feel better, but instead I'm reminding them that they are cared for by a strong, loving, and powerful God. The way she described that was just really helpful to me, and I hope it was helpful for you too. I have links to connect with Michelle in the show notes. You can head over there to find those. Thank you for listening today. May God bless you and your family this week. Remember that God is with you in every moment, even the moments that leave you questioning. He is not surprised and he is not going anywhere. God sees you when you feel unseen and he is making something new in you. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at christianparenting_org and see more resources at christianparenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit christianparenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.